skeleton form by the side of the road, and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. And I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause he.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God. He will direct your path. Heavenly Father God, my prayer is that you will keep me, protect me and all that I have, those that I love who are with me and those who are not with me. Protect us from the devil, Satan, Lucifer, or whatever names he calls himself in this life on earth, as well as you allow other lives. It's cold outside today, God. Nonetheless, you have blessed Detroit, protecting us from all sort of bad weather and natural disasters. Thank you, God, for blessing us, your sheep, with good health, prosperity, right mind, peace, love, joy, your goodness, your mercy, and caring. Thank you, God. I pray. Amen. This is Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, talking to you from the blessed city of Detroit, Michigan. I know that you have your pen, pencil, pad, and paper ready to write or take notes in case I say something that you might want to recall later, as well as having your King James Version of the Bible. In fact, your New King James Version of the Bible. That's the one that I read from. I'm going to be talking with you today from or reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. And then I want to go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 9 and 10. So let's get started. And I pray that the good Lord God will bless me to say what is in my mind and heart to say today. Let's read Genesis chapter 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And that's what God does. He gives you a vision. He came to me many years ago. And if you look at my first lesson that I spoke on Blog Talk Radio, I told you about that dream that I had. And this is why I do what I do now on Blog Talk Radio. Let me pick up in chapter 15, verse 1 again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." So that must have been at nighttime. And at nighttime only because I only see stars at night. Can't see them in the day. And he said to him, "So shall be your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." Now, I'm thinking that Abram was a Chaldean. He was born in Ur of Chaldean, and that's by the Persian Gulf, I think. I should have looked that up because I don't want to say anything wrong to you, Sheep. And by the way, if God has told me to feed his sheep and minister unto the people, then I think that makes me a shepherd. But I don't want to go that far. I consider myself a sheep as well. And, of course, you know what they say about a sheep. I say this a lot of times. A sheep is like a humble person, lacking in mental abilities. Some people call them dull or stupid. They are one who is easily influenced or led. But sometimes I just don't let anything and anybody lead me. I do what I choose. And that's what God gives us. He gives us life, death, good and evil. Now, those are the two things. Those are the things that he told me, or that I was told. And I know that the four powers that be are life, death, good, and evil. So I know I'm thinking life and death are powers, but I suppose good and evil are too. But I say those are choices. So let us not be easily misled. At least I try not to be. Let me go back to pick up at chapter 15, verse 6. And he said, "Believe in the Lord," and he counted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldean to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer." A heifer is a young female cow, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought all these things to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures, a vulture is a bird of prey, came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was gone down, he fell, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell on him. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Now, I want you to remember this. And when I first read that, I said, well, that's talking about us African Americans being brought to America. But I also read further. I think it might be in Genesis 46 somewhere, where they talk about, further down in the book of Genesis, where they talk about the coat of many colors, where these brothers sold one of their brothers off to Egypt for into slavery. And there was a famine in the land, and when they those brothers went to Egypt to buy food, grain, or whatever, their other brother, Joseph, who was over, in Egypt, he was like underneath Pharaoh, second in command, told them to come, the Abraham and his family, to come and live with them in Egypt. And that's how the Israelites became slaves in Egypt, because they were invited to come there. And after the Pharaoh who had invited them there, after he passed, and years had passed, the other Pharaohs then made the Israelites slaves, according to the story. And when I read that story in the earlier part of January this year, before the upheaval in Egypt, I called the Egyptian embassy here in Washington, D.C., and I was referred to another unit, and I asked them about, do they have any books on how they enslaved the Israelites. And I was told, according to them, they have no history of enslaving the Israelites. So I said, oh, well, thank you. And I hung up. And then I began to wonder, is this what America, the United States of America, will say about the African American 400 or 500 years from now, that the United States of America has no history of ever enslaving the African, me, the African. I call myself the African American now. So I think this chapter 15, verse 13 should be looked at. And I don't want to confuse anyone. You interpret it the way that you want to. I don't want to cause any confusion or anything like that. That's not my assignment. My assignment is to feed the sheep and to minister unto the people. Let me pick up on chapter 15, verse 14. And so, and also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here for the iniquities of the Amorites. You know, iniquities, that's sin, something that's immoral, unfair behavior, bad behavior. For the iniquities of the Amorites is not complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there was smoking an oven and a burning torch that passed between two pieces. And it came, and on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And then in verses 19, 20, and 21, Moses named the different names of the people who inhabit the land that the, according to Moses, the Canaanites are to inherit. Now, what I want to do is go over to the book of Matthew and speak on this a little bit. Another thing, what I've been reading about is a person that was from and this is outside of the Bible, I want you to read about a man by the name of Ralph Bunch. That's spelled B-U-N-C-H. He was here in Detroit, Michigan. And try to read about if they have any information on what his role was in the 1948 settlement of the Jews in what is now called Israel. Right now, I'm looking at my Bible. I'm trying to find Matthew. And a lot of times, you know, when you ramble off at the mouth, you might say something that you really don't intend to say or did not intend to say. Okay, something else that I've been reading in the book of Acts, too. I want you to read for yourselves in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 26. And that's where Paul tried to join the disciples in and the disciples rejected him. They didn't want Paul as a disciple. And he went on his way. And then when you get to Acts chapter 13, verse 11, you'll find that Paul blinded a man so that he could preach Jesus. And I'm saying, well, now, I know that God changed people and give them different assignments. And I'm just thinking, well, God will not tell you to blind anybody, but you know what? I'm not God. I don't know what God will tell you to do. That's, you know. And I know that if the good Lord came to me in a dream, as he came to Moses, as I read in chapter 15, verse 1, in a vision, God can come to anyone in a vision and tell them, give them their assignment. So if Paul, I'm thinking that if you are changed, then you are changed. That's just like with me. I will say, well, I want to go to the casino and enjoy myself, and that's one of the things that I really do enjoy. But when I go there, I feel like I've lost something, that closeness that I had with God. So I have been praying to stay away from the casino whenever I get money. And believe me, I'm broke most of the time. And I was praying yesterday morning around between 5:15 and 5:20, maybe 5:30. And as I was praying, I heard in my ear, my name is Lucifer. I got up. You know, I don't want to have anything to do with Lucifer. Lucifer goes by different names, sheep. He goes by, people call him Satan. They call him the devil. And Lucifer, if he comes and introduces, and then that was a male's voice that I heard. He said, my name is Lucifer. I got up and I turned my light on. And I got out of my bedroom because I don't want to have anything to do with Satan, Lucifer. My mind is made up. I'm publicly saying to you that I am a follower of God, of Jesus. Jesus had his assignment, I have mine. I don't want Satan, the devil, or Lucifer, or anyone to interfere with me. And I'm going to try to stay away from what appears evil. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Now, I'm going to ask the question, why is it? Oh, the Catholic Church have people calling someone father. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying that if you believe in the Bible, and if you believe what Jesus says, do not call anyone on earth father. Why do you have a father this and a father that in your religion? I'm thinking that should not be. And you sheep who are in the Catholic Church fold, you ask them about this. And if it should not be, then have them to change it. Verse 10 reads, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. In another Bible that I have, it reads, and do not call anyone master, for one is your master, and that is the Christ. So there's a difference. We should not, instead of calling people teachers or masters, why not call them professor or instructor? Or perhaps there is another name that you can call them other than teacher. So when you go to school, the person that is over you, that's in charge of you, and that is giving you information, perhaps you call them instructor or professor. I think that should be looked at again. Perhaps some of the teachings in America is incorrect. And there, America is North America, South America, but I'm talking specifically about the United States of America. And while I'm talking about things that should not be right, that may not be right, if God can give people dreams, why can't he give, if he gave me a dream to do what I'm doing now, why could he not have given Muhammad a dream to start the Islamic faith? Why must there be hatred? I mean, if God told Muhammad to write the Quran, what's wrong with it? When we die, there's going to be a number that no man can number. So why do you want to say that religion is wrong? Even though I'm of the Christian faith, I think that when we die, we're going to be held accountable. Every knee must bow and tongue confess. I believe in that. So don't hold those people, Islam, don't say that they're wrong. They might be right. You might say I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. I believe in God. If we believe in God, God has laws that we must adhere to. We must follow God's laws. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. There's only one God that we believe in, and that's the Creator. He may go by different names, but it is still God. And one thing that I need to leave with you is I try as often as I can remember this Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, verses 17 through 19. The things that the Lord hates, and He hates for you to shed innocent blood. Don't do that. You want to live, don't you? I know when I got sick a couple of years back, I did everything I could to stay in this life. And I'm willing to believe that those of you who are advocating abortion, and I used to tell people, if that's what you want, do it. But that's not pleasing with God. He says, do not shed innocent blood. And don't do it. If you got sick, you will want to live. You wouldn't want to be aborted now that you're here. Let's have a closing prayer. And then I'll go back to Jesus' love song. Father God, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And keep us from the evil one. Don't even let him speak to us in our mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, take the Lord God along with you wherever you go. And if it's the good Lord's will, I'll talk with you next time. Now, I've been having problems turning my song on and off. It's on right now. Thank you, Lord.
Lift up our hearts.